All righty. Well, thank you, public, for bearing with us. That only went 10 minutes over schedule. Not so bad on that part of it, so thank you. And I presume Otis has a list for me. I see the microphone going into position. And I did receive a note from the back regarding the I was told yesterday that wasn't an air conditioning unit, that that was just a fan, but I believe it's making some people uncomfortable. So is it too cold back there right now? Because it was hot yesterday. Oh, it's because they told us that that was just a fan and that it didn't actually produce air conditioning. So it's air conditioning. Yeah, that came from hotel staff yesterday. Well, darn, let's stop sweating except over business. Okay. Well, I don't know. Does somebody want to volunteer to close windows? I'm down. Thank you, though, because I really didn't know there was any air conditioning happening with that unit back there. You like the windows? We're good. Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to public comment. It appears that I have 12 people on public comment. Please adjust the microphone to your preferred height. First up is Margie Wilkinson, and then I can't make out both names, but I have Brian, Bob Baldick, Lawrence Reyes, Brenda Medina, Fernando Velasquez, Sasha Futron, Virginia Browning, Akio Tanaka. So Margie Wilkinson, please.
Thank you. I want to talk about lawsuits and unfair labor practices today. I was going to say something rude. I won't say it.
Thank you, Marty.
First of all, I want to say Safe KPFA has never filed a lawsuit against Pacifica. People identified with Safe KPFA have, and you have lost both of them. The first was a lawsuit filed by staff at KPFA after the national election supervisor manipulated the votes, that after initial court appearances, that suit was settled. The second was when you refused to seat Dan Siegel and Laura Privis after they were elected by the KPFA LSB to sit on this body. You lost that in the initial court appearances and have decided to appeal that case. I'd like to point out that the majority of the KPFA LSB urged you not to go forward with the appeal. That vote included people from both sides on our board, 14 yes, 2 no. This is now labor practices 101. Grievances are filed when an employer violates a contract provision. Unfair labor practices are filed when an employer, mostly, I mean, technically a union, an employer could file an unfair labor practice charge, but it rarely happens, when the process of collective bargaining is violated. All right. There were five unfair labor practices, and they've been referred to many times, and they've been, and many things have been attributed to them, including that the NLRB upheld KPFA's decision to lay off the hosts of the morning show in 2010. None of the unfair labor practices had anything to do with the layoff process. Four of them were withdrawn by the union. A union withdraws an unfair labor practice charge under many circumstances, sometimes when they're informed by the board that they're going to lose if they proceed, and sometimes because the filing of the charge achieves the result that was intended, and therefore there's no reason to go forward with the charge. All of these documents, I have the original charges and all of the documentation on what happened with the charge, can be found online. They're all available. The NLRB puts everything out. So first, there was a charge filed by the CWA for failure to bargain in good faith around the issue of the layoffs. That was withdrawn by the union. Second, there was a charge filed on the gag rule. That was withdrawn by the union and later resubmitted. Third, there was the employer breached confidentiality and interfered with the union's ability to represent. That was eventually withdrawn by CWA.
And I can't shut my phone off, sorry.
Okay. And the next one was refused to meet on grievances, withdrawn by CWA. And the last was a change, was the issue of the gag rule, which was refiled, and it was the NLRB ruled that the matter was not important enough for them to make a ruling on. They did not rule either way, that either party was right or wrong. They just said it wasn't important enough for them to deal with.
Thank you, Margie. Next up is, I apologize, I can't quite make out the first name, but I have the name Brian.
All right, so the comment from me is that The only two divisions that have added value to Pacifica are KPFA and KPFK. You should leave those alone. Every other division, in particular WBAI, which destroyed $3.3 million in value, are where you should focus your reforms. And I have comments from three people in New York. Cannibal says, idiots who say in public something can be done with the WBAI transmitter rent should be publicly flogged. What's going to move the transmitter to a pirate's house in the boogie-down Bronx? Don't know what that is. Frank says, Pacifica should regard the Empire State Building antenna as an investment and support the investment with promotional campaigns to inform 18 million potential listeners of WBAI's existence. Could pay off for Pacifica as a whole. Jamie says, if WBAI is to survive, it must get more listeners, a lot more. Station costs simply cannot be met with our current low listenership. WBAI has been running deficits for almost a decade straight now. Our last good year was 2003. That's your $3.3 million of destroyed value that you aren't paying attention to. There are no tricks. Mega fund drives won't do it. New techniques won't do it. Chasing grants probably won't do it. Mailings won't do it. Dinners won't do it. Moving won't do it. The only way for the station to right itself is to do radio more people want to hear and then make potential listeners aware of it. I'm very disappointed that for so many years WBA management has been unwilling, unable to focus on this very important task. It's like waiting for the government to address climate change. Very frustrating. Perhaps under our new PD we may get somewhere, but it is very late in the game.
Thank you so much. Next speaker is Bob Baldock.
Yeah.
Followed by Lawrence Reyes, Brenda Medina, Fernando Velasquez, and Sasha Fuchon. Thank you.
Thank you and greetings. Hi.
Hello.
I want to just briefly really address this, the idea of austerity or growth. I've been with, let me just read this, please, and thank you for paying attention.
Thank you.
In his report to you, KPFA's interim manager, Andrew Phillips, generously praised my work of the past 25 years for KPFA. It's unusual work, I believe, within the context of Pacifica Network jobs. I organize public events with writers, occasionally musicians, and various other exceptionally articulate progressive individuals. These events draw together surprising contingencies of people, many of whom have not been KPFA listeners. Audience size ranges from a rare low minimum of 200 to a max of 3,500. Average size of attendance for the past couple of years has probably been about 500. Please note that these 500 individuals differ drastically from event to event. Sometimes there are events where three in a row, where not one person, the same person, is at any of them. We record in audio and video nearly all these events. The recordings subsequently are used on air as gifts to subscribers. They account for a very hefty portion of funds raised on our air. KPFA, I think, can take considerable pride in having our own productions serve this function and be this successful. All these recordings should be available to all Pacifica stations. We get releases from speakers consenting to this. The expenses involved are trivial compared with funds raised. Publishers pay nearly all travel and lodging expenses. The vast majority of our public events raise far more revenue than they cost. And I'm wondering why every station doesn't do this. It could generate a larger, absolutely appropriate pool of gifts or premiums for listeners, as well as making unusually good air. Dissident writers...
Time. But you can finish, sir.
Am I going too far?
Well, you're over time, but I'll let you finish.
Okay,
please.
Not much more.
Okay.
Dissident writers and their publishers need radio promotion and public exposure. San Francisco's been the number 4 or 5 book-selling metropolitan area in the nation. New York and Los Angeles are numbers 1 and 2. However, I'm in my 76th year. I'm not going all that much farther. I've done this at a half-time pay and happily so. In addition to the actual organizing, I produce a poster for every event and do much of the promotion. So with all due respect for our unpaid co-workers, I want to say that raising money on air is infinitely more successful when there's a fresh, good supply of CDs and DVDs, more particularly when they reflect in a compelling language not only the problems of our time and speak to a wide audience, but when they propose credible answers and also reflect the abiding mission of Pacifica. So,
thank you, Mr. Baldock. I appreciate that. I appreciate the comment about books. Next speaker is Lawrence Reyes, followed by Brenda Medina. Thank you.
If you could just allow me to adjust the mic.
Of course.
Madam Chair.
I won't start your time yet.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's good. Okay, first of all, my name is Lawrence Reyes, KPFK Local Station Board, KPFK. I want to lend my support and urge you to support the two motions that are coming out of the Affiliates Task Force today. Hopefully they'll be heard and they'll be acted on. And the second thing that I want to address my remarks to is in regards to the Spanish language programming motion that it mandated or suggested, encouraged, however you want to call it, 3 hours of Spanish language programming, where it's not five hours of Spanish language programming, which has not been addressed. I'm not going to engage in the conversation that was had at a National Programming Committee meeting that was not quorum, so I'm not going to dignify that conversation or that meeting with my remarks because I don't believe they should be. But I know there's been a lot of accusations that if we implement this motion that we would lose listeners. Well, folks, we are losing listeners already, and we have not even implemented the Spanish language programming motion. We are losing listeners without any Spanish language programming. So knock it off. Pacifica, let's grow up. Okay, let's start doing this. You know, let's get it done somehow because this is a huge potential audience that we are neglecting. And this is network-wise. This is not just KPFK. This is KPFA, WPFW, WBAI, which is my station that I came into Pacifica with. So KPFT, who has a humongous Spanish language population, and it's not reaching it. So let's just stop the joking aside. Let's get serious about implementing this motion. Let's try to work it out any way that we can. But please stop tempering the remarks about this motion, if I could just finish.
Of course.
About this motion with comments bordering on xenophobia and cultural genocide.
Thank you, Lawrence. Brenda Medina, followed by Fernando Velasquez.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Brenda, I'll give you double time if you're going to translate.
Yes, but okay. My comment's pretty short.
Okay.
So, hi, everyone. My name is Brenda from KPFK. Mi nombre es Brenda. Soy from en la mesa directiva de KPFK. So I want to make a couple of comments regarding fundraising for the entire network. Quiero hacer unos pocos de comentarios acerca de recaudando fondos para la fundación. So one is that we need to encourage small pledges so people actually want to pledge. We always keep trying to get people to, like, get the most money possible, and then it's like they're wiped out and don't want to pledge ever again because then they get their stuff late and all this stuff. So hay que tratar de usar premios o pequeños para las donaciones mínimas que queremos agarrar de las estaciones para eventos y también para programas. So one of the things that I've noticed is that we sometimes don't ask for pledges at outreach events. We sell T-shirts, and yet we don't sell them a little bit more expensive so people can actually become members and get a T-shirt. So es muy importante para tratar de usar los eventos efectivos para tratar de agarrar donaciones para que uno sea miembro y también agarrar un premio como una camisa o una bolsa o lo que sea. Okay, so we also have to acknowledge that people want to become a member because we produce quality programming, and then they would want to become a member because it's quality programming. So let's entice them to actually want to become members. So debemos asegurar que la programación es de calidad para convencer a las personas que donen a la estación, porque si no, no van a querer donar. And then on behalf of the people that I affiliate myself with within KPFK, I think it's very important to know that I'd rather have 200,000 people donate $25 than 200 people donating $25,000. So muchas de las personas con que yo me afilio en KPFK dicen que es mucho más importante tener 200,000 personas donar $25 en vez de 200 personas donando a $25,000. So ya sé que ese es un poco idealista para creer esto, pero tenemos que estar en ese nivel para tratar de mover al futuro de esta fundación. So I know it's a little idealist, but I just want to make sure that we start looking forward to trying to have that many members, as opposed to trying to look for very small ways to get big donations. That's it. Gracias.
Gracias, Brenda. Next speaker is Fernando Velasquez.
Pacifica does not operate in a vacuum.
I'm sorry?
The distribution of wealth in the United States, it gives more privilege in terms of money to the white people. The people of color gets below, and the Latinos and the Native Americans at the bottom. So when you go on the fund drive with the drive time hours given allocated to mostly white listeners, people trapped inside the car away from the television set, you have a captive audience, and whoever you have fishing out of a ship where there's lots of millions of fish below the ship, clearly is going to be a good fisherman. But when you allocate the slots to people of color when everybody went to sleep and they're trapped in the television set, you're not going to have a strong response. So you stop BSing yourself, thinking that because you're getting a lot of phone calls when people are captive in the freeway, that you think you have a great programmer. You have to think about that. Now, you should, since that's the big time, the drive time audience, you should help people of color as well as the white people broadcasting on those hours. Now you stop, Brenda had it right. If you have 200,000 people at $10 a piece, you don't need to go for $350, $360 a day, a Gary Knoll anti-wrinkle, anti-gray hair stuff. Come on, you guys, wake up. What you need to do is just be more relevant. Bring the immigrants in, bring the Asian community, bring the women, bring the kids. Look what's happening with the students. They are getting all these loans. They're not going to be able to pay because they have all this money to pay for the next 15, 25, 35 years in debt, so they're going to be silenced, quiet. They're not going to be able to raise their rebel voice against the junk imperialism because they don't want to lose their job and need to pay their debt, the student loan. You see what I'm saying? You need to free the students. You need to bring them in forth and give them a voice here, even though when the fund drive comes, you don't need to take people off the air so you can only have white programmers, white middle class subscribing, so you end up with a white local station board and a majority white national board. So you can have more diversified, truly represent the people of the United States. Please do. And may the gods take you safe back home. Those of you who are already on the right side of life, thank you for being you. Those who are confused and thinking that promoting Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's war, you're going to go somewhere, you're wrong. Have a good trip. Safe back home.
Thank you, Fernando. Next is Sasha Futran, Virginia Browning, Akio Tanaka, William, and New Yorker. Thank you.
Hi, Sasha Futran, Vice Chair of the KPFA Board. I've come here to announce that I am a fallen woman. Yes. As many of you know, I switched factions, political factions, about a year and a half ago. And the reason I mention that is because it's very interesting when you're on a faction, you get to be privy to a lot of things, then you're on another faction, you get to be privy to the same subject, but another point of view. And one of the things that I think is important about this in one particular instance having to do with our cuts, and I'm going to mention a subject not because I want to stir things up again, but because it's a different way of looking at something. The last time we had cuts, because of money, it was said, of course, I know differently, and many of you know differently, but it was said that the morning show was cut, the staff was cut, because of funding problems. Now, I know that's not true. I mean, I know we had to have cuts, but I know that what went into creating that list. Nevertheless, because the word went out to the listeners that that was the reason why the show was cut, $63,000 were pledged to bring that show back on for at least a period of time. So these are listeners who believed what was said officially by the station, that the show was cut because of funds. So you have to stop and think about that if you're concerned at all about what your listeners think, as supposedly we are. The average pledge of that $63,000 was $100. It was approximately 200 people pledging, and the highest pledge was 2,000. So, you know, if you think it's money bags that a few people were, turned upside down and coins rolled out of their pocket, that's not the case. And the reason I'm mentioning this is not to stir up that whole subject
again.
You're
at time, but go ahead and finish, please.
But to go ahead and make the point that in our next set of cuts, once again, based on seniority, our most popular programs at KPFA are going to be cut. And you have to stop and think, please, like a broadcaster, as our interim program director yesterday spoke, that is then going to mean more cuts once again. You have to stop and think about what we are doing here, because it's going to bring down the network. And I'm sorry, 2 days ago I said, something about volunteer staff, unpaid program is not producing good programs. There are some that do excellent ones that bring in money. But the vast that's not really true for the vast majority. And if you're thinking of hooking up with nonprofits, as I've heard about, that will be a one-hour public service announcement. It is not news, and it is not public affairs. And as much as a political person, let me just finish the sentence. I'd like to support organizations and issues that I believe in. That is not true information we're going to be getting. We need people who know broadcasting and who go out there and talk to people on both sides and bring back real information, and we need it more than ever.
Thank you,
these days.
Sasha. Next person is Virginia Browning, followed by Akio Tanaka, William, and New Yorker. Thank you.
Hi. Well, as far as the morning show having been taken off, okay, so I mean, it would be really good to sit down and have a dialogue about this. I don't know how you propose to do it if not by seniority. You know, I'm open to that dialogue, but I think that the CWA seems to be always talking about union busting and making big cases about that. So I can't quite understand what you are suggesting, but maybe we could all actually have a conversation. Brian got on the air during an election and promoted himself. You know, let's say he got on the air instead and said, wow, you know, they're cutting all these people because of seniority. Now, maybe seniority is a good idea, but I'd like to help some of the unpaid staff improve and make this place a really great place. And I think they could create a new position where one of my responsibilities is to really dig down and help the unpaid staff make the best radio there is. And I bet they could find a position for me like that. And Brian can be very inspiring. I'm sure he could do better than I'm thinking up right as I go along here. But that's not what he did. He got on the air and whined his little head off. And he did it pointing his finger at people that had nothing to do with this. And he was taken off the air legitimately during an election for blaming candidates for this that had nothing to do with it. It was, even if it had been true, which it wasn't, it was totally inappropriate for him to do that. So he was only taken off the air for...
Ms. Browning, one moment, please. I'm sorry. I hear members actually talking back to the public. I don't care what you think. That's inappropriate. Please stop. Thank you. I'll add the time that I've just taken to say
Thanks.
That. Continue.
So sorry. So he was only taken off the air for 30 days. He was scheduled to finish out that month, and then he was told at the Berkeley Labor Commission and the City Council and all the other little places they hooked up. They made this massive campaign all over the Bay Area and got a whole bunch of energy wasted on this. But we're told... sorry, I lost my train of thinking.
It's okay, Ms. Browning, you're almost
that
time.
Arlene Engelhardt and others said he's probably eligible to bump in seniority. He doesn't really have to go off the air. He can bump. You know, he's such a smart guy. I bet he could have come up with an idea for a great little show if he hadn't wasted the time doing that. I am sick of hearing about all that.
Time.
And during the elections, how about something on Occupy, since those people in the affiliate areas don't really want to hear about it anyway, and maybe you're the Green Party or something else besides the two-party system.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Browning. Next speaker is Akio Tanaka, followed by William and New Yorker.
So I'm Akio Tanaka. I'm on the LSP of KPFA.
Please, yes.
Sure.
That's much better.
Sure.
Thank you.
So isn't it ironic that there's never peace at Pacifica? That we're always fighting.
I know, it's so non-Pacific, isn't it?
But I wanted to just sort of, there's such a partisanship, but there's actually, you know, simple answer, like I pointed out yesterday with my graph, that the main problem that we have in our station is that economy tanked, and the fact that we overhired and underfired during that 10-year span. And that is the crunch that we face. And that's the crunch that ED, you know, Arlene Engelhardt faced. Very difficult situation, and yet, all these people think that there's a simple solution, like the people who actually sort of caused the problem, you know, like they had a brilliant five-year plan between 2000 and 2005 to overhire people. Then they had a second brilliant plan between 2006 and 2007 to not get rid of any people as the economy tanked. Oh, of course you're going to have a problem. And that's a very difficult thing that they're trying to contend, and yet they're saying their solution was no good. So they're trying to recall Tracy for whatever she did. They're also blaming ED for the lack of whatever she did, the lack of a five-year plan. Oh, God. I'm telling you, if we listen to the people who are, you know, beating the drums yesterday, and they take over again, they'll have a third brilliant five-year plan, which would be probably worse than the first two brilliant five-year plans. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tanaka. Are you going to distribute your graph to the board?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. You can just go ahead and give it to someone at the end, and they will circulate it. Thank you. I'll take a hard copy and email. We like handouts here. Take home. Study aids. Okay. Thank you. Next up is William and then New Yorker. Thank you.
Hello. William Herwagen from New York. Hello. A couple of notes on mostly yesterday's comments here, that not from the listeners, but from the board. Summer Reese Chair, you said something about Arbitrons, 400 and 1,200 listeners in New York and L.A. at noontime or something like that. That may be the Arbitron figures, but that certainly isn't true because everybody knows that they're not monitoring minority communities, meaning Black, Asian, Latino. And so you think you have 400 white listeners, and maybe that's all you have, but you probably have a couple thousand other people listening. Don't pay any attention to Arbitrons. Then, let's see. The CFO said something about you can't base your decisions. I couldn't get the quote on who it is or the person involved, but yes, you have to base your decisions on that because that person that said that has no idea what she's doing, so she shouldn't even be involved. She doesn't know accounting. That's she's raising her hands. She thinks she's famous. Laura Privis said something about, what is it? We need development directors and GMs, sure, but what we need is not only permanent ones, but experienced ones. We've got people in New York that have no radio experience whatsoever. It's crazy. Ken Aaron said we need an audience of interest, not racial heritage. And that just reminds me of a few years ago in Newark when he came, I guess he figured out better language. He walked up to a bunch of white people outside the LSB meeting, or no, the PNB meeting, excuse me, and said, oh boy, I'm so glad you're here so we can get rid of these black radicals or whatever phrase he used. I think it was black nationalists. I get it wrong all the time. So congratulations, Ken, for cleaning up your verbiage a little.
You're at time, but you may finish your thought.
Oh, no, I got 100 things to say, so I can't.
Finish your sentence, at least. Okay.
I just say on the elections portion, there was the, the ballot count should be closer to WBAI, so at least some people could have a chance to watch what goes on, and that also to do with the election things. Someone mentioned that KPFA union identifies the staff voters. Well, in New York, we had the unpaid staff organizing committee, which always was able to identify the voters, and management led by your then CFO said, your now CFO said that they're just not going to recognize the union anymore. And that's not something Pacifica should be proud of.
Thank you so much for your comments. Next speaker is New Yorker. I just go by what gets written down on the page. Trying not to editorialize so much.
Your glasses are in better shape. No, it's okay. Please, it'll stay on.
Please go ahead and adjust your microphone so it's at a comfortable height before I start your time.
You mean that you think I'm not tall enough for that? I'm hoping there will be some more discussion about the CBB penalty, some $100,000 or $200,000. So I'm surprised that if there was a problem with the way premiums were being handled, that this wasn't pointed out before we got to that point. The issue of business managers, I think I heard something about we're going to have a West Coast business manager and an East Coast business manager. And it seems to me that a station's business manager is the most effective buffer against the books being raided. So the idea that we're going to be removing business managers from the stations, and the only person through whom National will have to go to get at a station's money will be a general manager, who is, of course, supervised by National, so it kind of puts them in an awkward position, is very troubling, to say the least. KPFA has this great bag, which apparently is made by artisans somewhere. I read the tag, but I don't remember. A big improvement over these bright green, made in China, probably by some Chinese child, things that a couple of the other stations were offering. So it'd be nice if we try to live our politics. I heard questions about diversity at KPFA, and unquestionably something can be done about that. I hope none of those questions were coming out of Houston, where the stark absence of diversity continues. And, you know, we've asked repeatedly for Houston to sort of account for why people of color seldom run for the board or stay on the board. And I have nothing, I've heard nothing out of the directors, at least three of whom are on the board for multi-year periods. So it would be good if they could focus just a tid a bit their attention on that. I am concerned that some of the people who showed up here yesterday talking about how great Tracy was were not aware that she had.
Please go ahead and finish.
Thanks.
Yes,
we're not aware that she had falsified a director's signature in public in Houston, and in fact, it was the beginning of what was a turnoff for the guy. He eventually left the board, and I'm disappointed that this board has still refused to deal with that. I think that might be illegal. It certainly is immoral. But the recall continues. Please vote her out.
Thank you for your comments. All right, folks, amazingly, we actually we heard from every member of the public who signed up within the time allotted with only 1 minute over after accounting for starting late. I'm impressed. If we could do that, we'd be getting stuff done. Was there any other member of the public who did not speak, who did not sign up, who wished to? Because, you know, out of courtesy, you're welcome to. But we are at time for that item. So if not, thank you all for your comments. We do appreciate hearing from you. And we've got about 50 minutes that we can still get something done before dinner starts walking in. So 50, 50, an hour if we push it, you know. No, no, we exceeded our time. You know, yesterday I gave an hour and a half and we had a half hour schedule, but yeah. No, no, of course. Dan? Excuse me.
So I would suggest that we go back into executive session and try to finish the business that we didn't finish this morning, right? I mean, we should prioritize our time to do the most important thing, not always put the important things later.
Okay, I'm not opposed to that. Our attorney's only with us till 5:30, so we'd have like 45 minutes more of the presence of counsel, which might be helpful to our facilitation of items. We have not heard an executive director's report, a chair's report, a National Finance Committee report, so there's a whole lot of things that have not occurred in open session. It's not the end of the world, but it is a reality. Maybe we will try to have those tomorrow and bump around that development stuff a little bit. But if the body feels, I tend to concur with Dan, I think it probably would be wise to go ahead and go into executive session, communicate with the hotel, maybe bring the food down there, and utilize counsel's time.
I think
Oh, just do the executive session here and clear the room?
That's, yeah, there's no reason not to stay.
Yeah, here. I never knew why we went to the other room in the first place, personally. But oh, somebody was using our room. Well, that's an entirely different matter. Sharing rooms, indeed. Okay, that's fine. So, you know, let's, can we take a is the body in concurrence that we should go into executive session to accomplish? I know we do. I'm dealing with that. I want to make sure there's not an objection before we move on. Yes, sir?
Okay, great.
I don't think we're going to go back into public session. That's what I'm getting at. We could probably, frankly, because people started to get tired after 8 o'clock. Thank you, Andrea. I don't see that we will come back into open session this evening. No, members of the public, we will not be having any more public session today. However, tomorrow morning we are scheduled for open session. If we are able to finish what we need in closed session tonight, we will stick with that open session. If for some reason we need to go into closed session for a short period tomorrow, that's, it is what it is. But there is public comment time listed on the agenda for tomorrow.
1 o'clock.
Well, we're supposed to have all public session tomorrow, so I'm hoping perhaps that if we go into closed session now, we will conclude what we need. Oh, the first hour is not. I apologize. Public session is supposed to start tomorrow at 10 a.m., okay? Not 9. So, anyway, yes, Ken?
Could we have a 5 or 10 minute
Yeah, I was going there. I just wanted to finish the housekeeping before. And, folks, if we want to get something done right now, please just go down and get your stuff, use the facilities, and come right back. Don't get caught in 16 conversations in the hall and make it take 20 minutes. This isn't like a long break. We got dinner coming in less than an hour, okay? Thank you. Please go retrieve your items from... we'll commandeer someone from hotel staff on the way down. Actually, John, ask Otis because he's, you know, they're in communication because of the equipment. So, anyway, 10-minute break, long enough to go retrieve your items from the other executive session room. Please come back up. We'll have a working dinner. Let's try to get some work done.